You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Good morning. Hey, hey. Praise God for his amazing grace. I need to stay here for the picture, for the video. I just want to get a little more centered. That's all. I don't usually, and I know you guys have known me long enough to know, I don't usually get thrown off. Usually I'm, yeah, there's just not much that really sways me and gets me like, oh, I didn't see that coming. And if it does, I'm usually like, you know, fairly agile and adjusting. But my wife surprised me this morning. There's a lot going on, good stuff. So I'm probably going to cry today, just so you guys know. Lord's working some things out. But my longest standing friend, and it really just hit me when I sat and thought about it when I saw you. This man has known me longer. The only person who's known me longer are my mom and my siblings, is here. And I did not know he was coming. So my friend Brandon and his beautiful wife Grace and their beautiful kids, the Han family is here. And yeah, it just kind of threw me in a good way, because although I've had the wonderful pleasure and gift to be able to open up God's word and preach God's word, and I've been preaching almost close to 10 years now, you will be shocked to hear this, but very few people from either knowing me growing up or who have been like those intimate relationships have actually seen me preach in person. So outside of my mother and by God's grace, my father before he passed, this is my first dear friend who's actually been able to be in the presence to hear me preach God's word. And I'm a little nervous. You know what I'm saying? I'm a little nervous. Caught me off guard a little bit. But again, thank you for being here, brother. So he knew me before Jesus. I'm not even talking about from the aspect of he knew me when I was not trying, when I was wilding out. And for those who don't know what wilding out means, that's this idea of when I was really living a rebellious life that was supposed to be fun. But like, he knew me when I was a kid. Like, we've known each other since second grade. And I wish I could say that he's here because me and him did what was necessary for him to be here. Well, I guess to a certain extent we did. We married great women. but we reconnected. This has nothing to do with sermon, but I promise I'm getting there. We reconnected. We saw each other periodically through high school, through college, and then adult life. I remember the first time I met his wife, Grace. She was just a girlfriend. I met them in the mall. They were soon to get married. Got married. We maybe texted every blue moon. When I say every blue moon, I'm talking about that's maybe once in 3 years. And then for our 10-year anniversary, we had been blessed with a trip, and I was like, man, we should invite somebody. And I was like, well, I'll reach out. And I reached out, and they were able to come, and him and our wives ended up just hitting it off. So they had like their girlfriends that had known each other since second grade, and they've only known each other for what, three years? And I know this was their doing. And to you ladies, I say thank you for this unexpected blessing today. To Pastor Brockway, man, it's a joy to see you here and your beautiful family. I have known them, I guess, about 6 years now. But believe it or not, we did not have oftentimes a commune with each other, because although we were part of the same church, we were two different campuses. But throughout that time, we've had the pleasure of being in men's retreats together. We've spent some time where we've connected in the community. And I will say this, when I knew he was coming, I didn't expect him to be here this Sunday, because I thought, well, since I'm preaching, he's probably traveling or something. So some other stressful pressure. But no, I know he's taking notes to send back to him. That's one of our pastors. But it's an honor to be here with you. And I will say this to you all, you're in good hands. Anyone whose oldest child knows all the verses to Amazing Grace, because I saw her singing. I heard you singing. I was like, man, she know the verses that I don't know. And I've been walking with Jesus 20 years. I feel bad. And so you're in good hands. Him and his beautiful family, his wife. I want you guys to know, take care of him. And know that he's going to, by God's grace, do his best to take care of you, okay? We're jumping into God's word. This is my third time being with you since being in the book of Exodus, and I'm thankful to be here. God is teaching us so much during this book. It's the story of his people in this magnificent journey that they're on of getting to know him more, building relationship with him and understanding who this God Yahweh is, this great God who is the creator of all things and who holds all things together. Who is he? And what we see during this great book is we see the interaction, the nuances. We see the hard-headedness of the children of Israel, which could be applied to the hard-headedness in our own lives. We see the faithfulness of God despite disobedience. We see this faithfulness that is birthed out of his nature and his character. It's this beautiful thing. I was reading Knowledge of the Holies by A.W. Tozer, very well-known theologian. He's got this book, and he shares about the attributes of God. And in one of the sections I was reading this week, it helped remind me of something, because he says that we must remember that the attributes of God are not all-inclusive of saying that this is all that God is. This is just what we have the capacity to understand of who he is from his word and what we do know through experience. But then he also says this, is that it's important that we not see the attributes of God, which are the characteristics and way in which God's act, in segments. So it isn't that God is good and then he's holy sometimes, and then he's faithful other times, and then he's omniscient sometimes. God is all these things all the time for all of his people, no matter what. And so it's this idea, it's not that he moves in and out of, but this idea that he just exists in is what's so beautiful. It's this reminder that says that God is great. He is Yahweh. He is not, I know we have these famous sayings of he's my BFF, Jesus is my BFF, the man upstairs, he's my pilot, I'm the co-pilot. No, we must understand this is Yahweh who spoke and it was. The air you breathe, the movement of your heart, this grass, these trees, everything is held together by Yahweh, by God. And as we continue in this journey here, we see this new step in the relationship between God and his people. Again, even in that statement alone, we see something beautiful about God, and that is that he works even prior to us fully knowing who he is, and he works before we even make our full commitment to him. Israel had not been doing things saying, hey, we're proving ourselves to you to make ourselves worthy of you. God is saying, no, I'm moving on your behalf despite your unworthiness. And what we'll see today as we look at this beautiful picture of what we find in this unique covenant that God has for his people, this unique bond that is solidified in this text, we're going to explore that. Because it is a beautiful testament of God's love, his faithfulness. And there are three unique things that we will see in that. We'll see the uniqueness of this aspect of worship, a uniqueness in the aspect of his blood, as well as the uniqueness in what we see his word being made very present and very real for his people. So I want you to join me on this journey and join me in prayer as we dig into today's text. Amen. Lord, I pray that we all here, we commit in this moment saying we'll be fully committed to your word and hearing what it is you have to say for us today. Lord, I pray that you will help us to slow down. Slow our hearts. Slow our minds. There's no need to rush today. Allow us to hear your word. Allow us to see what it says about you, what it says about the people that you love, And then what it says to us, your people who you also love. I pray, Lord God, that you would actually help me slow down and allow nothing to come forth that is not of you. Allow your word to be brought forth in such a way that not only glorifies you and helps us know you better, but it also changes our hearts. It changes our mindsets so that we can walk in the transforming and renewedness that comes with knowing you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, growing up, there were always these things that were done, and I'm going to work through these planes. They're not going to stop me. This relationship and these bonds that are made where you do things to prove your commitment. I don't know if you guys are too young to remember friendship bracelets. Anybody ever make a friendship bracelet and give it to a friend? Believe it or not, I'm probably one of the only black males you'll meet who did that. There was this thing that I know ladies didn't do this, but guys would say, okay, we're going to do a spit handshake. So you spit in your hands and then you shook hands because it was like, it's this commitment to each other. Some people are even going as far as to show commitment through tattoos. Now, we're not going to talk to whether or not that's a sin. We're not going to go there. But it was just an idea that people have used tattoos as a sign of saying, hey, that's a bond. Because anytime you're actually inking your body to pair with somebody else, I mean, you've got to be committed, right? That's some serious stuff. But then there's also, if you go back into ancient times, this idea of like the blood handshakes. There were this blood commitment saying, hey, we're committing ourselves in blood. Now, I don't know this from experience. I just know this from the movies, okay? Anybody watched any old movies was like this idea. Again, women didn't do this type of thing. Guys, I don't know where we're at. But it's like, hey, I'm committed to you. They're like, yeah, I'm committed to you. Okay, here, you take this knife. And it's like, you know, you always had to stand strong and look hard as if it didn't hurt that you were actually cutting your hand. It hurts. But then you cut it, and then they cut theirs, and then they shake hands. Now, we know there are all type of health factors here that are problematic. But at the moment, it's this idea of saying it's this commitment to this relationship, to this union that says that we are bonded together as two different parties committed to each other, to support each other, to honor each other for the mutual good of each other. This is the earthly example of what we have of like these commitments and bonds. Nowadays, we don't do it with blood, but we do it with ink when you sign contracts. But what you'll find it is all these earthly examples of how we see building relationship, building bond, and committing to each other and making this idea of a covenant is that in the earthly realm, one thing is consistent. They all at some point fall short. At some point when your rights have been violated in that friendship, you say, you know what, I'm no longer committed here. All of a sudden, when somebody has wronged you, or you have been the wrong to want to implement wrong, somehow the commitment is no longer adhering to what it was supposed to be. In legal worlds, it's where you have situations where you sign a contract and then the landlord just doesn't come fix things like he promised he would in the contract, right? These earthly examples always fall short because they don't last. And because they're trying to be held together by imperfect people who don't know how to fulfill what is necessary. But in today's text, as we look at Yahweh, he talks about a covenant that he makes with his people that can never be broken, that cannot be destroyed, and is faithful because the one who is implementing the covenant is perfect. Now, we've traveled along this journey, jumping in back to verse chapter 20. Moses, this encounter with God. What we're seeing is that as he encounters God more and more, they're having these discussions where God is speaking to him. We see the downloading of the Ten Commandments bringing forth these ways of living and how we are to conduct each other with each other, all these type of commands of how to walk out and live the faith. So again, you start off in chapter 20 with the Ten Commandments giving this overarching, hey, here's some 10 bullet points. And then it continues to get extensive in going to every area of life where God is saying, I am involved in everything and have something to say about everything in how you live and do. This is all culminated coming here in these chapters, or should I say these verses, found in chapter 24. After giving these, the Lord says to Moses, come up to the Lord, you and Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but the others shall not come near. And the people shall not come up with him. And right here in these verses, we see this is the immediate response after God has downloaded and given this context to this is how you're supposed to live life. So to my little people who are here with us today, when you hear talk about the Ten Commandments and the teachings of God, they're trying to show you these are the ways that you live your life. And as adults in the church talk to you, they're trying to tell you these are the way God is saying you should live your life. You guys don't perfectly understand that now, but prayerfully, as you grow, you will. Because guess what? Not even all us grown-ups figured out right now. We're still learning and growing up. And after he gives this command, I want to draw out this unique aspect of the covenant relationship is that you would wonder, what is the next step? You would think it would go straight to this idea, let's build the altar, let's do the blood. But before that, it says this, they come up to worship. Worship is the first thing that takes place because it's this idea that we want to give reverence to the one who deserves honor. Now, again, in churches, we have been led to believe that worship is just one thing, but biblically, that is not the case. Worship was all inclusive. So, yes, it involved prayer. It involved praise and thanksgiving. It involved the singing of songs. But it also involved the living of your life in as a form of worship. So how you conduct yourself at job was a form of worship. How you engage your neighbor was a form of worship. It is all inclusive. But if you ever have a question as to whether or not, well, I don't feel like worshiping or I don't have a reason to worship because you're looking inside of yourself, this text here tells us it actually has nothing to do with you. It's not about what you feel. It's not about how you feel inside yourself. I woke up. I just had a bad morning. I don't feel like praising today. I don't feel like worshiping today because you know what? People have been really mean and trifling to me. You know what? The church has disappointed me. My pastor's disappointed me. My mother's disappointed me. My friends disappointed me. And therefore, I don't feel like worshiping today. My kids have rebelled against me and everything I taught them, but I don't feel like worshiping today. And all that is fine and dandy. And it is very real as far as an emotion and feeling and experience, but it is not the dictator of your worship. God has spoken to his people through the man, Moses, and he calls them up to worship. Because worship is done as a form of reverence to the one who is being worshiped, to the one who is worthy of the honor, to the one who is worthy of the praise, and that is who Yahweh is. He is the God worthy of the worship, honor, and the praise. Now, it is very interesting because you look at the text and wonder, well, what is this thing where it says only Moses can come close? This is the idea that if you actually move forward in the text, in the book of the Bible, you remember the Holy Temple and the Holy of the Holies, you would send one priest in. This is the idea that he had to be cleansed. He had to be cleansed, and they would put an actual tassel on him to let him go in. They had a bell, and then when it was time, they would help pull him out. Because there was this idea that you had to be worthy and cleansed of such a place to be able to go in, and everybody wasn't going to do that. Everybody wasn't living in a pure way in which to do that. So this was a responsibility. They would go in into the holies of holies because they recognized it was such an amazing experience, but it was also a place of reverence that if there was sin in the presence of the holiest of holies, death was soon to come. There was no avoidance of that. And so again, Moses is being a mediator He's being a mediator for God's people and God. And he's coming close to God to receive what God has to say. And then Moses is then coming back out and giving it forth to the people. And after this happens, God says, what I want to have happen is worship. And that is what they do. They worship God. It's a sign of intimacy. It's a sign of compassion. It's a sign of love, because you worship the things that you recognize are worthy of worship.
Take your time right there.
You know, we always think of idolatry as this idea of, oh, I have to have some foreign object in my house, and we can associate it to those pagan worshipers. But you and I both know, you have things that you worship. I check your bank account, it'll show me what you worship. If there was a way to even check your time log, God can, I can't. But check your time log, I know what you worship. If you even look at your phone and check your weekly updates on how much screen time you have had and where you've been, it reveals what you worship. And I say all these things to say is that if you have the capacity, the time, the availability, and the willingness to push beyond what you feel to worship these various other things, we cannot stand here and say we lack the capacity, the willingness, and the ability to worship Yahweh. God, the creator of all things, who holds all things together. We are called to worship him. This is a requirement of the covenant. But not only that, as we see this beautiful interaction where we see in this covenant, we feel a call of worship. But then we see the reference to the word. If you actually look in these five verses, verses 3-7, we will see the word. Now walk with me right here, because this is one of those things where you're using a word to describe a word, so it's going to be a little confusing. But you will see the word, or a reference to it alluded to at least seven times in these verses. At least seven times in these verses. And if my pages didn't keep turning from the wind, I would already be there. But I'm going to walk with you through it. And this is where it is. In verses 3-7 of verse 24. My Bible jumped to Numbers. Lord have mercy. It says this. And the people, Moses told the word to the people, or should I say all the words of the Lord. And then if you jump down, all the words that the Lord has spoken, Moses wrote down all the words. And so you see this throughout the text, this idea of the importance of the word. Again, we're looking at these three things that are unique about the covenant. We see the worship, but then we see the word is vital as well, because what the word speaks to, the one who you are in covenant with. They needed to hear God's word in order to know who God was, how to respond to God, and what God required. And here, they are constantly learning and getting to know him through his word. God wants them to know him, not who they think he is, not who they wonder who he is. He wants to say, I am going to be self-revealing to you, and I am providing the words for you. Now, what's interesting is we use this phrase, God said something, or we heard God say, I heard God's voice say this. And when we say that, we don't actually mean an audible voice. We didn't actually hear someone say something audibly of like God said, Amanda, step forth and go do that. Didn't happen. But what I do want to say is this: here in this text, God spoke to Moses. He heard the words of God and received them. And as he heard this audible voice, he then took those words and then brought them forth to the people so they would know who God was, what God said, and what God required of them. And today I say this to you. As you sit wondering, saying, hey, I need a fresh word from God. Why isn't God speaking to me? How do I know what God has to say? I'm here to tell you It's in His Word. I can't tell you the countless times I've said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why aren't you speaking? Why aren't you saying something? I can't understand. Lord, I need to hear a word from you. I've said this. And the Lord says, my son, my word is here for you. Take time to read, trust, and learn God's word, because it is the key to knowing who He is. Now, I will tell you this. God is not held to only revealing Himself to His people through the scriptures. We have examples of that overseas now where they don't have access to the Bible, and people are coming to know God through revelation, through dreams, and through encounters. But for us here in the States, who have 5 or 6 Bibles somewhere around the house, who have 6 to 8 different translations, who have it on our phone, who have it on our laptops, stop searching for something else. I would even argue, stop begging for a dream. Stop begging for a vision. Read and study and meditate on His Word. Do you understand what precious gift this is? This is not your novel. Yeah. This is not your Reader's Digest. This is not your favorite podcast. This is not your favorite storyteller. No, this is not J.R. Tolkien. This is none of that. This is God's Word to be treasured. And as you're looking for answers, I promise you, He has no problem revealing Himself and answering your questions through His Word. And for those of you who say, but Ashanti, Pastor Ashanti, what about my unique situation? You know, there are certain nuances to my situation that Scripture does not specifically speak to directly. So it doesn't talk about the fact that I've got ailment on my right side, and therefore I can't get up and get out of the bed on my left, and therefore what do I do, God, living? Yes, He does not have every detail in this book of your unique situation. But I guarantee you, He still has the answer to your unique situation in the Word, because His character, His who He is in nature, is revealed through His Word to help answer whatever your unique problem is. There's a reason why He says He knows every hair on your head. And that's for those of you who say, well, my unique situation isn't in here. He's saying, but I've covered that. If I know every hair on your head, you cannot fathom that I don't understand and know your unique situation, and I don't have an answer to it in my word through telling you about who I am. When you're questioning His love for you because you say, this is what happened in my background, whether it be molestation, rape, abuse, verbal, physical, abandonment, regardless of what it is, God is saying, listen, all those things I can have encompassed in the scriptures to say my character consumes it like fire. I can help you through any and every situation. Yes, He can. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. It doesn't give every individual sin that we create and do. But what does it say? It says His blood is all encompassing of all sin. So yes, you probably got some unique sins that you did that I didn't commit and that you didn't commit. But God is all encompassing and takes care of it all. So as we see this beautiful uniqueness of this covenant that is seen through worship of who God is, and then we see His Word, we also see this beautiful response to His Word. And then it says in verses 3 and 7, in various ways, basically this one same phrase, they heard the words of the Lord spoken, and we will do it. When it's said again in verse 7, it says, we will be obedient. And what they're saying is after hearing the word, they're responding to it. They've worshiped, they've heard the word, now they're responding. Do you see where I'm going here? You worship God, you hear His word, and then there is a response required. God is calling you, saying, my daughter, my son, when are you going to respond? Just as much as you've been speaking to me, saying what you need and what you want, I've actually been trying to speak to you through my word and through my relationship with you and through how I love on you, through other people and through creation, and you've yet to respond. That's it. Yes, you've said verbally you're committed to me, but your life is not responding in such a way that shows that commitment. Will you respond, my child? Will you respond? Not even based off of what you feel like and who you are and whether you did it right, but will you respond off of who I am? God, Yahweh, respond based off of me. But God, being who he is, loving, merciful, kind beyond words. After providing the word, which leads to worship, and then leads to the word being responded to, he says, let me seal this covenant. Let me seal this so it can forever be taken care of. So it's not contingent on what you do or what you don't. Let me just seal this covenant. And he chooses to seal this covenant in a very special and unique way. He seals the covenant through blood. The text reads as this in verse 8. And Moses took the blood. This is after they had given us a burnt offering and a peace offering. He took the blood and threw it on the people. Moses took the blood, threw it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words. This covenant relationship referred to in the text is something very, very beautiful and to be treasured. When we think of this idea of covenant, again, because it's not language we use today. You don't walk up and say, hey, man, we need to make a covenant together. If you say that, somebody looks at you like, what in the world is going on with you? Make a covenant together? It sounds like a violation. But covenant is this idea of there's this bond between two equal parties. This means that the covenant relationship is bilateral. It's me coming to you as a fellow human being. We are making this covenant together. It's mutual. It's reciprocal. You coming to me giving to you, and us going back and forth with this. This bond is sealed by both parties vowing an oath. This idea of saying that we have equal privilege and responsibilities to carry out these assigned roles together. Because the covenant is confirmed between two human parties, it is bilateral. There's no other way for it to be. It's this mutual thing. And some, in ignorance, might actually believe that as God is speaking through Moses, he is actually making a bilateral commitment. He's saying, hey, it takes two of us to do this thing. We need the two of us in order to make this covenant. Hey, this is bilateral thing. This is not the case. This is a unilateral relationship and covenant right here. And for those of you who say, I don't know what that word means, don't be ashamed. It's this idea that says this act is being performed or affecting only one person, group, a country involved in a particular situation without the agreement of another or others. Please understand what I just said. Like my wife said, that's a time where you should jump. This is one of those times where you need to understand, he's saying, this actually has nothing to do with you. This is not bilateral. This is unilateral. I am downloading this from heaven to you. And I'm saying to you that this is initiated by God. The elements are determined by God, and this is confirmed by God with humanity, not because of humanity or a mutual relationship. He's saying, I'm giving this to you, whether you like it or not. Yes. This is what I'm providing for you, Israel. Yes. I'm taking you out of Egypt. It's the great Exodus. You complain to Moses saying, have you brought us out here to starve to death? Have you brought us out here to not be able to drink and then we will die? We should better go back into slavery where we were abused and mistreated and where we actually cried out for your help. And God is saying, no, I am imposing this upon you as my people because you don't even know you need it. But because of who I am, Yahweh, I want you to know I am God, I am Lord, and you need this. So neither the person, their moral obedience, their religious services would ever be acceptable to a holy God. It is only through the shedding and the sprinkling of blood that it is made right. And that is not one thing to say to this idea that somehow this is a license to do whatever it is you want to do. But it's this license saying that, listen, you are faithful to God, serve him as faithfully as possible, knowing that the covenant is held together because of who God is, not because of who I am and what I've done. But I will tell you this. There is one thing that is very important to this whole subject, and that is this. There's one requirement on your side, a requirement that is sometimes ignored. It's the requirement, as mentioned before, of your response. Today we're looking at the old covenant that applied to Israel and God's people. But in 2021, during a pandemic, when there's a whole lot of separation, a whole lot of beef going on between different parties, politically and socially, where there's poverty, homelessness, sexual identity issues, it all comes down to one thing that has to happen, and it is you have to respond to God's word. Because in the new covenant, because what they kept doing in Israel is they kept sprinkling blood, but it kept not adhering to God's word. They kept sinning. And God said, I have to do something once and for all so that everything is covered for good. And so what I'm going to do is, this old covenant that you are reminded of from Moses as he spoke to those in the New Testament, I'm going to make a new covenant through my son. His name is Jesus. And on Calvary, he is actually going to stand and shed his blood physically and literally so that you can be made whole, even though it is you who are putting him on the cross. It is your sins that he is bleeding for. He's saying, I am doing that in this new covenant for you. And in doing so, we have the blessed assurance of knowing that when we have responded by putting our faith in the one and only Son, Jesus Christ, our covenant is sealed for good. There's no sin you can commit today or tomorrow that will dissolve that covenant. There is nothing you can do to stop that covenant from holding up. But what you should do is in response to that covenant, is seek to do your best to say, Lord, I want to honor you with my life. So I say this to those who are here, to remember what Christ did. The great authors, as being led by the Holy Spirit, in Hebrews chapter 9, speak of this new covenant. It says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer and sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That is what we rejoice over. Bethany Baptist Church, to this wonderful neighborhood, we rejoice over the fact that through his blood, we have the ability to live redeemed lives, and everything that you are searching for, yearning for, and desiring are found in God, Yahweh, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, three in one, who we cannot fully be able to explain, but I tell you this, he will reveal himself to you through his word and make himself known. And so, Bethany Baptist Church, my brothers and sisters, I tell you this, stand boldly in the midst of trial. Stand boldly in the midst of people who are revving up against you. Stand boldly in the midst of depression. Stand boldly in the midst of oppression. Stand boldly in the midst of disappointment. Stand boldly in the midst of heartache, not because you have strength in and of yourself, but because you're holding on to the true and living King. You're holding on to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You're holding on to the one who spoke through his word of who he is, and therefore his covenant cannot be made void. Because God is all that he is all the time and never changes. Now, I'm not a singer, but I'm going to ask y'all to stand and sing with me real quick. And so when I say I'm not a singer and I need y'all to stand and sing, for those who are healthy enough to do so, if your knees are bothering and you can't make it, don't worry, Jesus still loves you. I want us to sing these words together real quick. Oh, baby girl, sing with me. I hear you. And you guys know this. And we're not going to go through all the stanzas. I just like us to sing this one time together. And we'll repeat it once after we sing it the first. And that is this. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. And I know it was the blood for me. We'll sing one more time. Here we go. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me. One day when I was lost, Jesus died upon the cross. And we know it was the blood for me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for today. I thank you for just being a good God. I thank you for your faithfulness that still at times is hard to fully grasp because it's so unlike us. But Lord God, I thank you for that. I pray that you would soften our hearts to hear your word. Let us remember, let our days be full of worship. Let our days be full of your word. Let our days be full of responding to your word. Let our days be full of being reminded of the blood that you shed for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon from Bethany. We invite you to worship together with us on Sundays. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.